Support for this podcast comes from Amazon Web Services. Pushing code to production can be a bit scary. From buggy application launches to unexpected deployment times, launching new features into production can be a nail biter. But what if you could control your features in production? What if you could release new features to customers without redeploying new code? Well, AWS App Config feature flags enable you to launch features confidently, safely, and quickly. Feature flags let you push code to production, but hide that feature from customers so your team can release the feature when ready. Head over to go.aws/AWS App Config to learn more.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of From Complex to Queens. Steve is currently stuck in traffic, or apparently not so bad traffic, on the turnpike, the parkway. I've already forgotten which one he said, but he's not going to be joining us. And also, there's no minor league content to talk about, basically, because none of us care enough about the AFL to go look up the stat lines. And also, it's the AFL. I do not care.
Yeah, I don't
at
I don't
all.
Care. Not even
it's not even like last year where there are like two semi-interesting Rule 5 guys, the AFL, right? Because Metoyer and Sanger were there, if I remember correctly. There's just, yeah. I do not care about anything with the AFL this year. But as you...
I just hope everyone has fun in the AFL.
Yep, everyone has fun. Stay
get
healthy.
Have fun, make some memories.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe get a friend.
Yeah.
Become friends with someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could ask for.
Go pick the brain of a coach from a organization with better player development. You know, any of these things. Good use of your time in the NFL. But yeah, so nothing in our usual wheelhouse really to talk about. But as any of you sickos who are listening to this are probably aware, the Mets are indeed in the playoffs. And as we record, have an elimination game in a little more than an hour. Needless to say, the vibes on the Major League side have not been so great of late. So I think the three of us are just here to shoot the shit a little bit, complain,
have a
moan our
group
fate.
Therapy session. I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes. As we anxiously wait for the elimination game. So how are you guys doing?
I kind of forgot what an elimination game felt like.
Mm.
Oh, not because great.
2016, like, I was just, that team was so run down by that point that just making it was kind of cool. Like, the expectations were a little different. Like, you saw the lineup they ran out.
Mm-hmm.
James Loney and all that nonsense. It was bad.
But, they were, you know.
Go ahead.
They were fine.
Yeah. Like,
the team. Yeah.
Like, that trip to the wild card game was really fun, but... Like, with the ASCAP bat flip and all that stuff, like, there was a lot of fun moments, but you kind of knew they didn't really have a shot. But this, like, you're a 101-win team, and your back's against the wall. It's kind of scary.
We can talk a lot, and I think we have talked a lot, about the flaws with this team. In terms of their roster construction and their on-field management and blah, 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 blah. But there is just it's quite a bit of garbage level luck where we spent all season thinking about, oh, we just get to the playoffs and Scherzer and DeGrom will dominate. And basically they both shit the bed, largely due to factors outside of their own control. Like, I don't want to blame them for trying to pitch through injury and not having it, but like, it just sucks.
DeGrom was good yesterday. Good enough, obviously. Like,
yeah,
the group wasn't bad clearly... in either start, really.
I think he's lucky to get out of yesterday with what he gave up, given how
he was,
yeah,
for
fine,
sure.
But that's Jacob DeGrom. The story is full of things like that.
It reminds
the legend of Jacob DeGrom has many.
See, with that 2015 start, it felt like he didn't have it in the first, battled through it, and then found it and just was shoving for the next six. He never seemed to find it last night, from what
no,
I
yeah.
watch.
He had like two extremely good innings to start the game, and then things got difficult. But, you know, as Jacob DeGrom has so often done, he found a way.
You know? Yeah.
It was very nice clearly the blister is a thing. I know they don't want to say it, and I get why you don't really want to go into a playoff game saying, like, yes, he has a blood blister on one of his fingers that is absolutely affecting him, but it clearly is. Like, he's just not that – he doesn't miss his spots like that otherwise. There's no other real explanation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't abandon his fastball for, like, innings at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
And
he doesn't throw more than the occasional change. The seventh inning.
I would say he's clearly good enough where even a hobbled DeGrom in that sense is still a very good pitcher, and he's gonna get you in a chance to win games. I'm more worried about a hobbled Scherzer right now.
Yeah,
it's not something I expected to say
with their respective
levels of health going into the season. Like, if you would have told me that in April, I'd be surprised that I'd be more confident in DeGrom being healthy than Scherzer. But
I mean, I think DeGrom's issue is mostly a pain thing, right? Like, you can pitch through a blister, and it's going to hurt like a bitch, but you can...
It just sucks.
Right, it can suck, and you're going to miss your spot sometimes because you're going to subconsciously flinch away from it. Scherzer is probably pitching with, like, strained or small tear in his oblique, basically. That's a lot harder to pitch through than... that at that point, that's affecting your actual ability to generate any sort of generate your usual stuff. Like, he was reaching back, and Thomas and I both had the misfortune of being at the game on Friday. Like, Scherzer was reaching all the way back to get to 95. It felt like,
yeah,
which is very much not Max Scherzer. Like,
that's a problem for next round, but they have to get there first for us to worry about it.
So, well, let's do this, right? We can go chronologically. Coming into the series, how confident were you that the Mets would win this?
I was pretty sure.
Very low.
Really? I thought they were going to win.
No.
I thought they were going to win and lose
the double. I've been terrified of San Diego all year, and I really thought they were going to come out flat after the Braves series.
Kind of did.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, and come out flat is kind of unfair given that they faced Yu Darvish, extremely good pitcher, but I was not expecting good things after they lost the division.
Me neither.
I will say I feel much better now. Like, whatever happens today, at least they won a game. You know, they made it a series, so I'll feel much better regardless, given that they won yesterday.
So that's and today's just a coin flip too. Like,
yeah, exactly. Anything can happen in one game. Anything can happen in three games.
That's an interesting point though, because I think for me, if they don't, and even if they win this wild card, frankly. So I guess they're going to, if they lose to the Dodgers, like, whatever, it's the Dodgers. But if they don't at least get out of the wild card after being in first place for 90% of the season, spending $300 million, and shooting themselves in the foot for the last month of the season, like, maybe I'm being overly pessimistic, but that feels like one of the most disappointing 100, if not the most disappointing 100-win teams of all time.
There's probably some that we don't know about, honestly, that didn't make playoffs or whatever. Like, I think there was a Giants team in the 90s.
It happens pretty much every year. The wild card has been a somebody, you know?
Yeah.
What I will say is this team's shortcomings were, you know, easily avoidable.
Telling me they should have traded for someone better than Michael Givens.
Reliever. Like, if anything, the Braves proved like, a combination of small, you know, additions at the middle of the season can really make a big difference, you know? And instead they chose to make three small additions, which really solving the problem. Dan Vogelbach, I adore.
He's been good for them, yeah. Like straight up.
That was a good trade. That was a very good trade. You know, they didn't give up all that much, and they got a guy who's the long side of a platoon that gives you basically Pete Alonso production. but yeah, I think my point, which is I wasn't really expecting all that much because they really didn't invest. I felt like they didn't do enough to between them and the Braves, and I'm not really surprised at how all of this is shaken out.
I mean, I think my argument as to why they would have been a bigger disappointment than a lot of these other wildcard teams is because they had the division lead for so long, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And the
yeah.
expectations around having a $100 million payroll, like comments about the larger economics of baseball aside and more teams should be spending, et cetera, but when you're spending that much money and it seems like you have a good team, you kind of expect to do more than choke things away the last month, and especially in a marquee series against the Braves where you needed to win one fucking game. But I don't know. I
and Pete Alonso had a really good answer with this stuff too, where he was like, we got swept by the Cubs, and I think he mentioned like the national, like the other, like that run where they went like 6-8 or whatever against the bad teams. They could have just made that Braves series not matter. Like when I was yep. looking at the September schedule, I was like, I don't even know if that Braves series is going to matter, because if the Mets handle business, they'll be 5 up by then. So who cares? Like they could have gotten swept and then you win one game in Washington. You know what I mean? Like they messed around and they found out. Is really what happened? And here we are.
I mean, like I have a hard time getting worked up about it because they, you know, already did the messing around, is I guess what I was trying to say.
No, and they did. And now, even if they do win this game, which I think they can, like I Bassett's a good pitcher, and Musgrove has been up and down in the second half, and it's entirely possible that the Mets just come out hot and hit Musgrove around a little bit, and we're talking about the NLDS, but instead of the NLDS being against the Phillies, it's against the Dodgers, and you're like, well, goddamn, here's the best team in 20 years or whatever, the best regular season team, because that's. They have their warts too, the Dodgers, because their rotation's kind of weird with Gonsolin not being stretched out and Kershaw being like a five and divey guy now. You could get to them in a 5-game series, but it's still the Dodgers, and they're still.
And you're also going to be out of rotation. You probably might have to burn out your bullpen, which is something else we could talk about last night's game. That being that.
Oh my God.
How...
I didn't even dislike the strategy
of putting Diaz in that early.
No, I would have put Diaz in there. But
the first part of it was fine.
Once you go up 7-2 and he's been sitting for 40 minutes or whatever it was, take him out. Put Ottavino in. And then put Drew Smith in or whatever. Who cares? Like, they kind of galaxy-brained it a little bit. It's almost like Buck was so afraid that the bullpen was going to blow it. But if you can't get Drew Smith
out for the ninth,
it's... No, I get it. I get why. It's just, if that's how down bad you are about your bullpen... It's going to be tough.
Probably should have fixed it earlier.
Yep. And that's not Buck's fault, but.
I know that there are no good tactical managers, and Buck is good with the media and the players seem to like him, but.
They need to give him someone to be like, dude, don't do that.
Would he listen to such a person? I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I mean, a serious team does not have Buck Showalter as a manager. Like, Dave Roberts has his quirks, but he's better at this than Buck Showalter.
I mean, all these guys, how much is Dave Roberts, how many decisions is he making a game over, like, the Dodgers analytical staff, you know? Like, Kevin Cash isn't pulling did Blake Snell, the Rays are telling him to. So,
well, is there... The well, then you need to get someone who will actually listen to
you. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I'm just saying, if you're going to hire a personality like that, Buck's going to do, he's going to listen to his gut sometimes.
And his gut makes him like probably a bottom three tactical manager in the sport at this point. And
yeah, probably
when you have a team that look, if this was actually a true talent 100 win team that was fully healthy and et cetera, et cetera, and not in this position where they're backed into a corner, you could probably shrug your shoulders and be annoyed with it, but it wouldn't matter. But now you have a team that's battered, thin on the mound, not exactly performing offensively, and hasn't been for a little while now, seven runs last night notwithstanding. It matters now. It matters a lot. It does. And if you get, let's say hypothetically they win this game, you get to game one against the Dodgers, you can't really afford to give them a game for free, but you might not have any of Ottavino or Lugo or Diaz available because you fucked around and pissed them away in the wild card round.
Yeah, you just never, it's tough because you have to get to that, to the Dodger series, and I get it, but also you need to be able to trust other guys in your bullpen when it's 7-2. Mm-hmm. It was the same, it reminded me of Terry in 2015, where he pitched Familia all the time in these blowouts, and then he was gassed in the World Series. And obviously we're looking way ahead of ourselves with the Mets making the World Series here, but the fatigue matters, and that was a problem with that team, and it cost them a World Series in general. So who knows what it'll cost this Mets, but yeah.
I mean, I don't think I have a problem with the gambit of sacrificing a little bit of your odds in the wild card to better your odds down the line in some situations, right? One of them being when you're up 7-2, like, oh no, if we put Drew Smith in instead of Edwin Diaz, our probability of winning this game is 5% lower. Sorry, I think you should be taking that risk in order to preserve Diaz for something down the line, but
If Drew Smith can't get five outs against this Padres lineup, has scary bats, but also a lot of not scary bats. If Drew Smith can't get three outs against this team, you're never pitching him ever.
Yeah, I mean, you're afraid of Juan Soto's been real trash in San Diego, but you're still afraid of him, and Machado, and also Bell, because occasionally he'll hit one like 480 feet or whatever. And other than
I know Trent Grisham has two home runs, but that's it. I'm not afraid of if Drew Smith can't get Jake Cronenworth out, then he's not getting anyone in the Dodgers out. So what is he on the roster for, you know?
Yep. Yep.
That's the thing that kind of burns me about it.
Trent Grisham hit 184, 284, 341 this season. That's an 83 weighted runs created plus. In the playoffs, he's hitting 333, 500, 1333. That's a 366 weighted runs created plus. Two games. I mean, two homers and six bats will do that. Along with a walk. Yeah, I can read.
Kara Swisher here. You may know me as the person who made Mark Zuckerberg sweat, pushed Kim Kardashian to talk dollars, or got Secretary Mayor Pete Buttigieg to eat a juicy strawberry live on stage. Okay, that one was awkward. But that's what I like to do, make powerful people comfortable with being uncomfortable. Now I'll be doing that on my new show from New York Magazine, On with Kara Swisher. We'll bring you news and the newsmakers I'm paying attention to, and we'll do it twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. Go check it out, On with Kara Swisher, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I'm circling back to a point I asked earlier on, right? How convinced were you that they were losing the whole series after that game one?
Oh, after game one, I was like, man, they're about to go out super sad.
The vibes were bad.
I think bad's understating it a little bit there, Ken.
Real bad.
I also think being there made it worse.
How long did you stay at the game, Thomas?
Oh, I was there the whole time because I had a ride. So.
What? Oh, you sicko. And also, I'm so sorry.
It was fine. It was honestly kind of funny. The crowd ended up going to absurdist comedy at one point in my section to deal with this. There were three extremely funny stories from the crowd. Mm-hmm. One, it was 6-0 or 7-1, and they were like, the Will Myers gets up and they're like, now up, first baseman, Will Myers. And the dude next to me just goes, fuck Will Myers. And I was like, of all the people, man, he didn't do anything today.
Yeah.
Like he's just like enjoying his little playoff game, having a good time, whatever. There was one part where they had two runners on and they didn't score.
Fuck Will Myers.
Yeah, we don't like Will Myers.
It was so funny though. There was one time where there was like two runners on and they didn't score, and the guy in front of me just puts his head in his hands and goes, can we score a run for the love of God? and that was like my section basically the entire game. Like once Machado homered and we kind of knew the vibe, they weren't coming back. It was just, everyone was just like hands up dealing with it, and it was pretty funny. So at least it got funny.
There was a group of hecklers behind me, and like you, I was watching the game. I was watching from like literally the second to last row. Felt like watching the game from the moon. There's a group of very funny guys heckling everyone from behind. The insult they were really settling on was that the home plate ump had a home in San Diego or something like that. It's a good time. But I'll admit I bailed out after the fifth. Like, I've got a dog at home. I've got work to do. It's cold. I'm here alone because the buddy I was supposed to go to the game with got COVID the morning of. I'm like, well, fuck this. I'm going home. Maybe that makes me a bad fan. Oh, well,
no,
I'll live with it.
No, it's cold baseball is miserable.
Yeah.
If it was like 10 degrees warmer and I wasn't dog sitting this month because my significant other is out of the country, I might have stuck it out. I'm like, I'm not going to make Penny sit in the crate for 6 hours so I can sit here and be miserable.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, that was not the greatest first playoff game to go to, I'll admit. But.
And his bullpen and management honestly annoyed me more in that game than did Saturday.
Oh, yeah, let's burn...
Why are you burning... I know Trevor May isn't the best pitcher in the world, but why are you burning May and Lugo in this game, my guy? Just let McGill or Peterson wear it and call it a day.
How does he not understand in Atlanta that down two in the seventh is high leverage? And instead, down six in the fifth is low.
Because all game yesterday, I was like, oh, it would be nice to have May here as in with a 5-run lead. But no, you know, of course, May will be around today and you never know what today brings. Maybe they go up 7-2 again and you could use him and it's fine. But it was just like very clearly should be a bulk guy here. And Peterson and McGill. I know McGill hasn't really been built up, but you could use McGill for two innings and then Peterson for two, and then you're out of here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to use him again the next day, well, it's an elimination game. Well, you're screwed if you have mm-hmm. to use them too. So your whole bullpen is rested for a game where DeGrom, with a finger issue, is pitching. I was sitting there like, why? Well, I may look good, and I didn't even care.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just a waste.
He shouldn't have been in the game. That really pissed me off more than, honestly, Saturday.
Can we also talk about the fact that they have a roster built around two elite starting pitchers, both of whom are dealing with injury, and chose on their playoff roster to not carry a real bulk guy. And I know Peterson and McGill can both kind of do it, but like, Trevor Williams is
Williams. Like, yeah. I think it was the last day of the season, right? He threw like six innings.
Yeah, he threw like a real start. Yeah. Yeah.
It should have been your favorite minor leaguer or your favorite minor leaguer who
give Harrell a chance.
Exactly.
Finally,
let Harrell get a major league.
Make Jeffrey Paternostro celebrate the fact that Harrell Gonzalez made the majors or something. Like, instead, you burn Williams and then don't put him on the wild card roster. Like, that's just patently stupid.
It was just so weird, and you just kind of knew the Braves weren't gonna. It was over at that point, and. What you're paying for 101 wins, I'm sure, but Jose Budo could pitch against the corpse of the Washington.
Didn't they score nine runs anyway?
Yeah.
They were up 9-0 after the third inning.
Yeah,
just pull him and put someone else in.
I mean, Chichi Gonzalez started for the Yankees because why would they burn an actual player that they're going to use? And they weren't even in the wild card, you know?
No, like they've had their games haven't mattered for like 2 weeks.
Because they're rewarding him. They're saying, hey, Chi-Chi, go start in Yankee Stadium. Good for you, or whatever it was. And that's cool, and maybe he was a good minor leaguer for them. I don't know. But you could use that for something else. And then burning Williams, a guy who's legitimately been good this year and would have been very helpful on Friday, It's just bizarre to me. Just very weird stuff the Mets still do.
The other, and here's the other side of that, right? Realistically, and Buck would never have done this because of the flaws we talked about already. You could have watched that game on Friday and seen that Scherzer had fuck all and pulled him after the third if you have Williams on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not that Buck would actually do this because he refuses to pull his starters early ever, but you could have kept that a game, right? And then the Mets obviously don't score anything in that game, but who knows what happens. But
it's still bad management. Like, I don't really like that argument where the Mets didn't score anyway, but that doesn't mean you just...
No, of course.
It up. Like, okay, if the Mets don't score, then you lose 3-0 instead. Like, I'd rather that, because then it's a game, and you never know.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Now, another frustrating aspect that is actually semi-related to what we usually talk about. Why the hell is Francisco Alvarez riding the bench?
He's here getting some new hoodies.
I mean, he should have hit instead of Ruff yesterday, but...
Should have started instead of Ruff yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And also, the fact that he didn't pinch it for Ruff in the seventh was pretty bad. So who do you think is actually driving this is my question, right? Is this Buck sticking with a veteran, or is this the front office?
I can't even fault him that much because, again, the guy's had 12 at-bats. He's looked largely overmatched, except for one, you know, majestic dinger.
He looked good against Washington, but that was a minor league pitcher.
And
so.
He's already been talking about how, you know, the moment for him in Atlanta. I don't know.
But Darren Ruff can't catch up with the fastball.
Darren Ruff is not good. That's also part of it.
Yeah.
But maybe you've more faith in Ruff not expanding. I don't know.
He walked twice or something.
Walked once and got hit by a pitch? I don't even remember.
He was on base.
It's almost like they should have gotten like a real DH.
Yes. Instead of, that's the difference.
But anyway, you guys want to wrap around to tonight's game?
How are you guys feeling about this one?
Not bad.
It's tough because I don't think any team has a significant advantage here. Like, Musgrove's good, but I also think Bassett's good. So they're both good pitchers, and they both could get blown up, or they both could pitch gems, and I wouldn't be surprised either way. And the Padres have
embrace
some scary
the chaos.
Yep. I think it's going to be close.
Anything can happen. Life is
literally anything can happen.
Eat Arby's. I will say I had my Mets. I made a Nostradamus kind of prediction in news a couple days back saying the Mets lost game one. We all are ready to jump off a cliff. They go on to win the series. They get swept by the Dodgers anyway. Still in play, baby.
Easily.
Love the Mets, baby. Love the Mets.
Free me from this mortal coil of Met fandom. I actually think they're going to lose tonight, but I have no faith in them to do anything, so we'll see. Like, weirdly enough, I had some faith in Bassett to come through in Game 3 in Atlanta, and... that didn't work. So I'm not not holding my breath for much here. I also still have major concerns about this offense against high-level pitching. Like, I just don't think the shape of this offense works particularly well in the playoffs. And you can't really make a convincing argument either way because the sample size is so insignificant. That's just kind of my gut feel. But we'll see. Joe Musgrove's real good when he's on. So
I would say he's been inconsistent in the second half. I think he had like a 4-something ERA in August, and he had a few bad starts to begin September and then figured it out. So you never know. I mean, Blake Snell was great in the second half, and then he looked like terrible yesterday. So you never really know.
Yeah. And the Mets,
I was more worried about Snell than Musgrove because the way the Mets handle lefties is so bad. Yeah. Like, they just never hit lefties, and they handled them. So.
Weirdly, though, this roster is kind of lacking in left-handed thump, it feels. I know that's what Vogelbach was brought in to do.
But he did it.
He did.
The guy who they brought in to handle add a little thump against lefties did not. Is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. So, I mean, look, I'd love to see a Vogie bomb tonight. It'd be a lot of fun. Lindor and Pete having a moment was good, at least. Like, I think both of them had some struggles down the stretch here. It's been didn't do much in Atlanta, didn't do anything in game one. So I'm glad that they got, and McNeil too, all had kind of moments in game two. So they have at least that to remember, and no one's sitting out here blaming one of them for this if it goes south. But yeah, I mean, hopefully they can do something against Musgrove as well. Otherwise, we're out of here.
Otherwise, we're posting about the draft very strongly.
Oh boy, yeah. Then we are really gonna have to start dissecting those AFL stat lines. Soon it will be list season. Hooray! That should be just a load of fun. Also IFA, so we can read one paragraph about random guys the Mets have signed. Forget they exist for 4 years and then pretend we know what we're talking about when they pop up again as notable prospects in 2026.
My personal favorite.
Mm-hmm. The best part of doing this. Give me a final score guess for tonight.
4-3 Mets.
4-3 Mets, okay.
Mets 2-1.
Oh, so you're making it as painful as possible. We're just going to be sitting here white-knuckling the entire time.
It's going to be like Diaz for two innings on the back of Diaz for two innings yesterday, and I'm going to
excellent.
I'm going to be losing my mind.
The NLDS doesn't start tomorrow, right? It starts Tuesday?
Tuesday. Yeah,
they have all right, at least they have an off day.
And there's an off day on Thursday, like in the series. So
for travel, I assume.
Yeah.
I'm going to go...
What's up?
Go ahead.
No, can we end on what would make you the Joker?
Sure. My score guess first is Padres 7, Mets 4. But, all right, what makes you the Joker in this game, Ken?
I feel like me and Ken are going to be the same. I don't know why. Go ahead, Ken.
James McCann hits for himself in a big situation. So I'm definitely going to be the Joker at some point.
Thomas?
Mine is Diaz blows the save and they lose. Like after his level of dominance, like probably the best Mets reliever season of all time, and that's how it ends.
You also just know just he's
not
gonna
being able to do quite enough.
He's gonna come out, he'll have two good innings, and then he'll try to get pushed for a third and he won't have it.
Shit like that. Yeah, like they push him just a little bit too much because of how infrequently pitched in September and
okay, yeah, we should end this cursed conversation.
What
that would
Joker
fi
me?
My bad,
what
guys.
Would Joker fi me here? I think it's gonna be like any of like Luis Guillorme or Escobar's been good right-handed. Any of Guillorme or Vogelbach or Nito batting against a lefty in a big spot where the Mets are down late while the camera cuts to Francisco Alvarez with a massive dip on the bench, just not contributing as whoever was at the plate strikes out or pops out weakly or ground rolls over to the right side. Like, it'll be the new, not to the same extent, but the new Buck leaving Zach Britton in the bullpen. So yeah, we'll see which one of us is cackling maniacally and kidnapping police commissioners in Gotham by the end of the evening. yes. I'm not going to go through the usual outro. If you're the kind of sicko who listened to the three of us bitch and moan about the wild card situation at this point, you know where to find us. Comment, subscribe, like, etc. Thomas is at Sad Mets Season. Ken is at KenLavin91, if I'm getting that off the top of my head correct. Yeah, I'm at ElfLawHost343. Steve Filipe is at Steve Sipa. et cetera, et cetera. We'll get back to more minor league focused stuff in the next couple weeks, but until then, love the Mets. Kind of. Love the Mets.
Support for today's show comes from Slack. A digital HQ in Slack brings your teams, partners, and tools together in one space. Slack helps companies stay flexible, accelerate projects, and keep teams aligned. So work just works. How exactly? Organize projects and channels, work across time zones with huddles and clips, and even streamline partnerships with Slack Connect. However you work, Slack is the flexible digital HQ for organized and efficient teams, no matter where they're logging in from. Get started at slack.com/DHQ. Slack, where the future works.